Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
It is great to be here in Atlanta. My wife and I, Brooke, it has been an honor to be here. We are truly humbled to be able to spend the weekend getting to know some of the leadership team. And we want to say thank you for the meetings with the elders and the Galbraiths and the hospitality we've experienced there has been just tremendous. And I just want to say thank you for allowing us to come here and share the good news of Jesus. And we're excited about how God is moving. And why don't we begin with a word of prayer, and then we'll dive right in. Let's begin. Holy Father, we are grateful to come before you. First, for your mercy and grace that you've just given to each of us. One, just to be alive today. We want to say thank you for life. We want to say thank you for the purpose in which we are here, to spread the good news of your kingdom to this world. And Father, I pray that you will help us today to be inspired, challenged, and encouraged by your words, that we will not just hear your word, but that we will put it into practice in our lives. Help us to do this, God. Increase our faith so we can do your will. And we are just here to say thank you, praise you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Turn over to the book of Acts. We're going to get started in Acts chapter 9. And I know you guys have been studying out the kingdom of God. Today I'm going to take a little bit of an off-road course with that, but we're going to talk about being compelled by the Holy Spirit. And in the book of Acts, you see this all start when Jesus gives a great discourse in John on the Holy Spirit is coming. I've got to go for the Spirit to come, and when the Spirit comes, great things are going to happen. And I'm going to move in a powerful way through the Spirit in your life. He's going to be a great counselor and guide to us. And then we fast forward to Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And then in Acts chapter 1, you see Jesus getting with the disciples. He's teaching them about the kingdom of God. He's saying, hey, stay here. Power from on high is about to come. And you're going to be my witnesses to where? All over. Ultimately. And so in Acts chapter 1, Jesus says, hey, get ready. The Spirit's coming. And you're going to be my witnesses in the kingdom of God. That's how you're going to live this kingdom life, is by the Holy Spirit inside of you. And then Acts 2, you see the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. The apostles speak in tongues. They preach the word of God. And Peter says, hey, let me tell you, how do you get into this kingdom? You have faith in Jesus. You repent and are baptized. And guess what happens then? Your sins are wiped out. And the indwelling of the Holy Spirit occurs. What an amazing gift. 3,000 people were baptized into Christ and received the Holy Spirit that day. And then it just went crazy. More and more people started coming to know Jesus. But what happens? Remember in Acts 1, Jesus says, hey, you're going to be my witnesses to the end of the earth. What was going on in Jerusalem at the time? Man, they were just living it up. They didn't necessarily have that focus to the ends of the earth yet, right? They were just enjoying being disciples. Man, I am forgiven. I have a new purpose in life. Jesus is Lord. And I get to follow him. I get to be a part of his incredible kingdom. And they were just loving life. But they weren't quite getting the whole picture yet. And I think that can kind of parallel our lives as well. Sometimes we can get stuck in our little microcosm of our world and we miss the bigger picture. I know I do. And so I know I want to ask you a question. How is the Holy Spirit moving in your life? Now, as we continue on, I'm going to paraphrase the first few books of Acts and then we'll read some scriptures, but just bear with me. This is not a comprehensive study by any means. So, you're going to have lots of other opportunities to go and dig into the Word to find out more about God and His Spirit moving. But what happens? Well, the church grows more and more, and then Saul comes onto the scene. There's a persecution that breaks out. Stephen is martyred, right? And that's like, oh no. What terrible news. How can God work through such a terrible situation? One of the servants, one of the deacons of the church, was killed for his faith in God. And what did that do? It scattered the church. It scattered them. That sounds bad, right? But guess what happens? Remember God's plan? Hey, you need to go to the ends of the earth and tell people about me. That was kind of, I think God allowed a bad situation to happen to encourage people, hey, there's a bigger picture going on. And now they scattered, and guess what they do? They start sharing the good news. And so that's encouraging. So then what happens? Saul becomes a Christian. And that's what we're going to pick up right now in Acts chapter 9. The great conversion of Saul happens, and Jesus says, well, you know, later on, he says, hey, you're going to be my herald to the Gentiles. You're going to preach the good news to them. In Acts chapter 9, verse 26, when he came to Jerusalem, this is Saul, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing he really was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord and that the Lord had spoken to him and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He talked and debated with the Hellenistic Jews, but they tried to kill him. When the believers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace and was strengthened, living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It increased in its number. So we see Saul, he becomes a Christian. He becomes Paul. And rightfully, he comes into the fellowship. Now talk about fellowship challenges. Can you imagine worshiping God, and then off in the distance you see this guy who imprisoned your brother, who maybe had your father stoned. Can you imagine the distrust? And yet, Paul is just like, hey, I've changed. I'm different. But what happened? Well, there's a guy named Barnabas who pulled him in. God uses people in our lives to help us at different stages. We all need encouragement. We all need discipling one another, relationships. None of us have arrived. It's hard to believe sometimes, right? No, we are all a mess, and we need a lot of grace and mercy. Turn over to Acts chapter 11. We'll continue on. So, you know, people get teed off that Paul is preaching the word, and they try to kill him, and the disciples send him off to Caesarea, and he stays there for a while. Now, has he started preaching to the Gentiles yet? No, not yet. Bear that in mind. In Acts 11, verse 19, it says, now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Now this is a beginning of some great things going on. If you remember in Acts chapter 10, Cornelius becomes a Christian. He's the first Gentile to usher his way into the kingdom. God opened the door for the Gentiles to come. And then, you know, what happens to the persecution? Well, they start sharing their faith with the Gentiles as well. Good things. God's purpose is starting to unfold. They're starting to get it. So what happens? You see Barnabas, man, I need to go check out what's going on. Let's just make sure it's all good. So he goes to the church, he visits what's going, you know, and he goes, man, what? Look at what the grace of God has done. This is good news. Who do I need to share this with? My good friend Paul. Now, this wasn't just a short journey. From where Paul was, it was 140 miles, roughly. Even if they were hiking 10 miles a day, that's, you know, that's hoofing it pretty good. That's at least a two-week journey. Why do you think Barnabas went to go look for Paul? I think he was compelled by the Holy Spirit. I think he had probably spoken with Paul many times and heard what God had planned for him and said, hey, God is opening a door here. Let me go get my friend Paul. You know, the Holy Spirit's moving in many ways in all of our lives. And we, just like Paul, need people to believe in us. God uses people at different times and phases of our life to encourage us, to encourage our souls, and sometimes to wake us up spiritually. Too many times we get stuck and we don't see that God actually has a greater plan for our lives. And so God sends Barnabas to look for Saul, and he brings him back, and man, they start teaching everybody. And a lot of people got to know Jesus. Now, what happens? Well, the Holy Spirit was moving in all these things. I want you to think about, it could have been very easy for Barnabas to go, you know, Paul used to, you know, have Christians martyred. He's got a lot of baggage. I don't know if he'd really be fit for this. Let me get someone else. Now, we all need someone to see past our mistakes. Why? Why do we need someone to see past? Because God sees past our mistakes. He is greater than any sin in our life. And we are a part of His story. He's not a part of our story. We are part of His. We are a part of His kingdom. When we have faith, we repent, we are baptized into His kingdom. We are a part of something that transcends our lives. But we need a Barnabas at times to encourage us to stay on focus, to inspire us to do God's will, to challenge us at times when we're stuck or when we kind of get, you know, I think sometimes in our lives, we don't really believe we're part of God's story. We believe He's a part of ours, and we're the superstar in the movie of life, right? I want to be in control. I want to have it all figured out. And I have a plan in my mind of how life is supposed to go. Just like you, right? You got a plan. Or at least you're thinking of one. But we all struggle with truly surrendering to God. Really, Jesus is Lord. We are part of His kingdom, not He's a part of ours. And yet we need some people in our lives. I think the Holy Spirit compels us to help each other out. You may go, well, I don't have a Barnabas in my life. Well, ask others to help. That's one encouraging thing about being here this weekend. I have met so many amazing brothers and sisters in the Lord. That encourages my faith. You may go, well, I don't have someone to inspire me. Then ask for that. Or you may go, well, you know, encouragement and strengthening people is just not my gift. Then repent. It needs to be all of our gifts. Now, other people are going to be more naturally gifted in that area, but it's kind of like evangelism. Not everyone is just, oh, an extrovert and can meet a brick wall and talk about Jesus to them. No, not everyone. But we're all, as disciples, called to engage in the Great Commission. So how do you know if, you know, you may go, well, how can I be a Barnabas to others? Look for people within the fellowship. There may be people in your family group that are not tied in. And what a great way to do this than sharing in the work of God. That's what Barnabas, hey, Saul, Paul, you need to come down here and see what's going on. Turn over to Acts chapter 13. You know, that's one of the reasons we have small groups within the church, is so everyone can be tied in. So everyone can get strengthened and encouraged. And if we're not seeing that, we've got to get a vision for, man, I need that in my life. It's how we practice one another Christianity. Now, in Acts chapter 13, we kind of fast forward. We see they're starting to preach. In verse 13, verse 1 says, Now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers. Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. The Holy Spirit calls us. It says the Holy Spirit chose Barnabas and Saul. Now, we can at sometimes go, wow, we lift up, God, look at those guys, they're going off and doing the work of God. You know, there's some guys who stayed behind here. Simeon, Lucius, and Manaen. It didn't say they were considered any less. Oh, they're not great missionaries, so they're kind of second-class disciples, so I'm going to pick. No. They stay. Some people get sent and called, and some people stay. Not everyone can go to another country. Not everyone's a Leslie Cadet, right? But we're all called to be missionaries. You know, I was doing a little research. There's 877,000 people in Gwinnett County. A little more than that, but you get a picture. That's a lot of people. Whether in our neighborhoods, our careers, at the university level, we are called to be on the mission. And the Holy Spirit's working. Can you imagine? God is working in 7 billion people's lives right now. For the sole purpose that they will get to know Him. And the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of you is calling to you, saying, what are you going to do about that? What am I going to do about that? I think that's something in Brooke and my life that we've been wrestling with. We want to be used by God. We've been in different parts of the country, and that's been great. But man, I want to do more for God. It's easy to get complacent in a large church. It's easy to. It's easy to kind of sit back and let other people do whatever. To not be engaged. Even though the Spirit's prompted you, hey man, you need to serve. You need to have a role within God's family. And pour your heart and soul into that role. And sometimes we can just turn a deaf ear to the Spirit. Or we can go, oh, that's for the campus. And the teens, they're really fired up. You know, I'm married now and I've got kids. So? If anything, kids, man, what an evangelistic tool. I mean, really. I mean, they just draw people. My kids draw people to them. It's just, they're magnets. And yet, sometimes we can make excuses for our stage of life. We can kind of say, God is not really sovereign. Because He didn't give me a family and a career. You know, he gave me those things so I can take it easy. No, He gave you those things to put you around other people so you can help them. Our families are the people around us. Man, God is always working. You know, there are people that are heroes to you in this room, seeing how God has moved in their lives to inspire them. But that doesn't mean we can't be inspiring in our current situation. whatever struggles are going on in your life, God can use you. Health challenges, financial challenges, relationship challenges, marriage challenges, what kid challenges, God can use us. The Holy Spirit is calling, compelling us to move. You know, that's one of the things, you know, they talk about the book of Acts. It's really the work of the Holy Spirit. You know, they call it Acts of the Apostles, something. No, it's the Holy Spirit compelling people to do God's will because they've responded to the good news of His grace and mercy. Turn over to Acts chapter 15. So they go around and, you know, they send Barnabas and Saul off. They take a missionary journey. They plant churches and convert people. And some good things are happening. So in Acts chapter 15. Look in verse 36. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Hey, let's go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they're doing." That sounds really commendable, right? Hey, let's go back and make sure all our brothers and sisters are taken care of. Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them, but Paul did not think it was wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Now, Paul and Barnabas, missionaries, best friends. Uh-oh. There's a disagreement. What do you do with that? How do you handle that as a Christian? Well, I think God calls us all for unity, right? Just because they had a disagreement does not mean they were not still brothers in the Lord, right? They just had a disagreement. Now, you know, I've heard different people throughout the years go, "Well, you know, Paul was right because he did this and he wrote most of the New Testament." I got a little bit of a different take. I don't know who was right. Doesn't say. Doesn't matter. Really. God, you got to be able to see the bigger picture. God was at work. God was still at work, even in a disagreement. And so... You know, I'm sure Barnabas had, you know, pulled Paul aside and said, hey, remember that time at church where no one wanted to fellowship you? And I just want to remind you, I was there to kind of pull you in, buddy. You know, that was kind of Barnabas's heart. I don't know what, but later on you see John Mark, a part of Paul's journey. That's good things. You know, there is reconciliation, but bad things can happen. Christians can disagree. It's not the end of the world. But watch how God even works in a disagreement. Now, what happens? Barnabas takes John Mark, and he goes the route they were taking, that they had been before. He takes the same missionary journey travels as Paul and Barnabas took. Paul goes a different route. Think about that for a second. Barnabas is like, hey, we're going back the same route we went before. Paul's like, I'm going to go a different way. But this is how God is so amazing. His Holy Spirit's always working. In chapter 16, Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. If Barnabas and Saul had not had the disagreement, there is a strong possibility that Paul would have never met Timothy. God worked and took him on a different path. The Holy Spirit can move in challenging situations. There may be differences. We all can have those. Unity needs to always remain a top priority. But God can still work. The churches were strengthened and grew. Like in verse 5, it says, so the churches were strengthened in faith and grew daily in number. And God's Spirit's still moving, like, hey, let me compel you. There's another guy I want you to meet. God is working using the good and the bad choices in our life. Sometimes we make boneheaded decisions. We can be arrogant. We can be deceivers. We can be prideful, lustful, whatever. And God says, you know, I can still use you. Quit being a knucklehead. So I can use you more effectively. But God's still working. Remember, he's got 7 billion people he's concerned with, not just us. And he's trying to guide us to open our eyes, to see a bigger picture. That there's a lot of people in this world that he wants us to impact. And sometimes God opens and shuts doors for us as well. Look in Acts chapter 16, verse 6. It says, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region in Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. Wait a second. That seems like a raw deal. How the Holy Spirit? No. Why? They were kept from preaching the word of God there. But what happens? In verse 8, so they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man in Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Sometimes God shuts doors and for the simple reason to open another. And that's what we all as disciples need to embrace. God is, in your life right now, God is opening and shutting doors all around you. He is putting people in your life for the sole purpose so you can just open your mouth. I think about this when I was converted at the University of Tennessee. I was playing basketball, pickup game with my friends. And you go, oh, you're too short to play basketball. Yeah, I am. I like playing basketball. But these brothers, the evangelists, I don't know, some of you may know Bill Burt. He badly sprained his ankle. And they had Bill's a pretty good-sized guy. And they had some guys carrying Bill off the court. And these brothers were playing a pickup. They stop our game to invite us to a Bible talk. Now, they could have easily been focused on Bill's ankle, saying, we got to get this guy out. He can't walk. You know, we got to help him out. Instead, they stop our game and share their faith. Now, at the time, I'm like, not really. You know, I read the Bible once. You know, I wasn't really going for Jesus at the time. At that time, about 2 weeks later, I was. But God, what if they didn't listen to the Spirit's call? What would that mean for my life? That was the beginning of the semester of 1994. And I started studying the Bible. I did discipleship study. I found out what it meant to follow Jesus on a Saturday morning. And the next Thursday, I was baptized. Because I was just dying to know who God was. But 2 weeks before, I was like, eh, I'm not really interested. Got it together. You know, I think so many times in our life, there's people all around us. We think they got it together. And then inside, they're just hurting. What about you? What if someone didn't open their mouth with you? Where would your marriage be? Where would your children be? Where would you be? We need to listen. I need to listen to the Spirit's call. I need to be compelled by the Holy Spirit. You know, sure, there are challenges, there are struggles we all go through, there are doors opening and closing around us, but I pray that through any chapter in our lives that we can see God moving. Well, How do I know if the Spirit's moving? How do I know God's compelling me to do something? Well, one, it's got to be in line with the Scriptures, right? God cannot lie, doesn't contradict himself. So that's a good way to kind of reason some things. I think sometimes as Christians, we can kind of do the Gideon approach. Well, I'm going to lay out the fleece. You know, that wasn't really a good thing, just by the way. God didn't say, oh, I'm so fired up, you don't really trust me. So lay out this. No, he wants us to really trust him. Part of that is obeying his word. But part of that is the brothers and sisters in our life. It's good to get input, to pray about things, your decisions, to see where God is calling you. How is God moving in your life right now? How is God working in your marriage to help you to be more like Jesus? How is God working in your career to help you to be more like Jesus? How is God working in all the lives of your neighbors? We don't see what's going on behind closed doors, but God is working. And at just the right time, you may have shared your faith till you're blue in the face, and the guy you shared with four times 2 years ago, and you hadn't talked to since then, all kinds of things have happened in his life. And you can go to work tomorrow and go, hey man, I'd like to encourage you. I'd love to get in a Bible study with you. You never know unless you ask. I know that's true for me. I would not be a Christian if someone didn't just ask. And someone didn't get my number and see through the excuses I first threw out and gave me a shot. Because God compelled them through the Spirit. Finally, in Acts chapter 20. So we'll wrap up here. So this is Paul speaking to the Ephesian elders. They're actually not in Ephesus right here, but he's speaking to the Ephesian elders. In verse 20 of chapter 20. It says, you know, I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in the Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and to complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. The Spirit compels each of us. He is a guide. What was the Spirit compelling? He was compelling Paul to go back to Jerusalem, to preach the word of God. And Paul says, hey, sunshine and rainbows await. Smooth sailing. No. Prison. Hardships. I don't know about you. I don't like to hear that. Oh, I can't wait to suffer. I think that's a part of our problem in our Americanized Christianity. As we strive for comfort more than striving to be like Jesus. And God wants to use us and to shake our faith and say, hey, go out and be with me and I want to use you to do great things. And we're like, well, I'm pretty comfortable right here. Got a good thing going. Don't rock the boat too much, God. My life is kind of in order according to my little plan. And he wants us to do more and see more of his plan. And we can get fixated in on our life. And he says, you know what? Struggles may come. And what did he call Paul to do? Embrace those struggles. No matter what, Paul was to testify to the good news of God's grace. And so there are situations happening. Some may turn out to be a blessing. Others may turn out to be prison and hardship. Hopefully not prison. But you never know one day. You know, I don't know what will happen in everybody's life. Prison can happen. God can still work. I want you to think about this. So Paul goes to Jerusalem, right? He embraced what God was calling him to do. And what happens? He gets thrown in jail, house arrest. Now, do you think that was ideal for Paul? No. I mean, this guy preached the word more than anybody, right? I mean, he had an impact. You know that drove him, I'm sure that drove him crazy. But what happens when he's under house arrest? I think he writes 5 prison letters. I don't think he would have wrote those letters if God hadn't put his life on pause. That's just my personal take. It doesn't say that in the scriptures. That's just Tim's opinion, you know. But I think God's spirit was still moving to say, you know what? I need you to write some of the Bible for me. So you need to take a chill, brother, because you're preaching the word and you're not going to stop. So I'm going to make you stop so you can help us thousands of years later. See, God's spirit's always working. It's so amazing. And it dwells inside of us. Man, do I embrace the challenges in my life? You know, sometimes I do. Sometimes I want to paint this rose-colored picture. But that's not reality. You know, the Holy Spirit's moving and wants to use us in greater ways than we can imagine. He's calling you today to open your eyes, to see things as God sees things. And so what I'd like you to do this week is take some time to reflect, how is God moving in my life? How is the Holy Spirit working? Is He setting up conversations for me at work or in the home or at school? Is He putting people in my life? He's always putting people in our life. Crossing paths to testify to the good news of God's grace. His amazing, wonderful kingdom that we get to experience. What a gift that we have. And the Holy Spirit wants us to see. He's calling us. He's compelling us. He's calling some of us, hey, we need to reach the rest of our societies, right? The rest of the counties in Georgia. Maybe He's putting it on your heart. Maybe God's calling us to go start a new church in another county. Not a new church, but a part of our fellowship. Don't get me wrong. I'm all for unity. But I think that's where you seek input and say, hey, God's really putting this vision on my heart. I want to do something great for Him. Maybe He's calling you to stay here and build the kingdom up here. We need both. God wants both. But He's putting something on your heart. And He's given us each gifts and talents and abilities. And He's also put us in different people's lives. I can reach people that you'll never reach. But guess what? You'll reach people I'll never reach. Doesn't make me or you less or more important. It's just God. Thank you, God. Because we need each other. And we don't get this job done, evangelizing the world, on our own. And so God is calling, He's working. And so this morning, this week, take some time just to reflect. Maybe before you go into work week tonight, and just think about, what is God doing in my life? And how is the Holy Spirit working? Maybe He's already putting some relationships together this past week. That's God moving. May we all have a deeper appreciation of God and the Holy Spirit's call in our lives and the lives of others. I pray that we can keep in step with the Spirit, that we can listen to His call. God, I pray that You'll use us, open our eyes, so we can see life in other people as You do. That's my prayer for all of us and myself. Open my eyes, I can see other people like You do. May we all be compelled by the Holy Spirit. Thank you, guys. It's been a wonderful weekend. It's been my honor to get to know you, and may God strengthen us all. Thank you.
Oh, you're not going anywhere.
Thank you, Alan.
Thank you, Tim, for inspiring us, for reminding us that the Holy Spirit is still at work. He's compelling us to do things on His behalf. He's got a big plan for each one of our lives, and that He's at work not only in the Middle East, not only 2,000 years ago, but He's at work in Gwinnett County and in our individual lives. And let's take that challenge to figure out, what is it God's trying to do in my life? What's He calling me to? Thank you, Tim, very much.
Thank you, Alan.
We have a small gift here, hopefully a perfect. Yeah, go ahead, open it up. I'll hold it for you.
Let's see.
Ah, look at that. Oh, that's cool. Chop. You have to learn to chop.
I was worried it was a bulldog jersey at first, but you know, I was like, hey,
No. It's blue.
No, thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay. So I have a couple of other announcements to make before we wrap up. First of all, the excitement doesn't end here. We have, for those of you who are Bible Talk or family group leaders or deacons and their wives, we have a meeting here at 2 o'clock. Don't forget that. I think you've been announced about that. And then another great thing happening later this weekend, but later this afternoon. We have a new brother being baptized into Christ. Ethan Groover, would you please stand up for us? Is that cool or what? That's awesome. Look forward to that. That'll be over at the Lynn's house at 5 o'clock. So be there. So again, been an exciting worship service. It's been great to be together with all of you and to worship God and to be inspired to be compelled by the Spirit. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father in heaven, we love you. We thank you. We thank you that you love us. We thank you that you're busy working in our lives. Father, we're thankful that every plan you have for us is for good and that you plan to use us for things that are that you designed us for, Father, things that are going to be fulfilling, things that are going to accomplish your purposes, which are all great purposes. Father, I pray that you'd help us to see how you're working in our lives. Help us to be inspired and to be motivated and to be compelled to do the things that you're calling us to do so that we can accomplish your purposes and so that your will can be done on earth as it is in heaven. We love you and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.